Now, Chef Vasilenko, thank you so much for joining us on Upfront. As we speak, you are in Ukraine on the ground there, in the capital of Kiev. What is the situation there right now?
It's one of the most tense 36 hours that Ukrainians have had, at least Ukrainians of my age. Ukraine is at war. It's complete war, which is firing up all throughout the country. Russia is targeting both military and civilian targets. We are being hit from all over the place, on the ground and in the air, and also from the seaside. And I guess Ukrainians are still in shock of what we are seeing, what we are experiencing, and what we are living through. It's worse than any kind of nightmare you could have ever dreamed of.
You say Ukrainians are still in shock. Until very recently, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky was downplaying the risk of an invasion to avoid panic. And a poll from earlier this month found that only 20.4% of Ukrainians thought that a full-scale invasion would happen soon. Did you see this coming?
I was hoping this would never come. I have learned in these 8 years to hope for the best and prepare for the worst, as did many other Ukrainians. But to be honest, nothing can prepare you for a full-on war with the biggest military power in Europe, third biggest military power in the world, and the nuclear power. There's nothing that can prepare you to withstand that on your own. So really, when the president of Ukraine was saying that, okay, look, we're at war for 8 years, we know what's going down. We had these threats of escalation and so on throughout the years. All of that was absolutely true. And I mean, to have the population in panic and in fear would have caused havoc in the streets and would have actually played very well into Putin's big master plan to eradicate independent Ukraine from the face of the earth. But instead, the population stayed put. There was a feeling of unity which was growing, and that feeling of unity is what is helping us right now withstand this attack.
In Putin's speech to announce this attack on Ukraine, he talked about how, quote, Ukraine is not just a neighboring country. He said that it was, quote, an inalienable part of Russia's history, culture, and spiritual space, and that modern Ukraine was entirely created by Russia. Given this mindset, was there any chance that Ukraine would have a chance to function as an autonomous, a truly autonomous state?
Yes, and this is what Ukrainians are fighting for. And this is why myself, all my parliamentary colleagues, the government, the president are asking of our Western allies. Clearly, what Putin has declared in his crazy, mad speech is a pack of lies, carefully drafted for him by some Kremlin masterminds with an equally perverted mind and lack of knowledge about history whatsoever. So Ukraine is an independent country. Ukraine is not Russia. The Ukrainian people love their freedom. We fight for our freedom. We bring our children up with the love for freedom. And this is what we're doing essentially now. We are fighting on the defensive against an offensive from Russia to have the right to exist and to live. And I think that, well, any nation in the world and any leader in the world would be doing the same. They would be fighting for their country and the right of their country to exist.
In that same speech, Vladimir Putin also made the point that NATO exercises have been taking place in Ukraine over the past few years. And he said that military contingents of NATO countries have been almost constantly present on Ukrainian territory under the pretext of exercises. Given that NATO has always been used as an excuse by Moscow, do you think that NATO's involvement in Ukraine, carrying out exercises, but falling short of giving Ukraine actual NATO membership, has it ultimately hurt the country?
Look, Ukraine needs NATO and NATO needs Ukraine in order to stabilize relations with Russia. That is, as soon as Ukraine becomes a full-on member of NATO, that's it. Putin has nothing else to fight for. The spheres of influence, as he likes to call it, would have been decided, and over, and game. But
respectfully, the approach that's been taken so far, that is to say the NATO exercises, the lack of full NATO membership, did it give Putin the pretext necessary to engage in the actions we've seen over the last 36 hours?
Putin, if it wasn't for NATO, Putin would have found another pretext. Because Putin wants Ukraine inside of Russia and does not admit an independent Ukraine. Putin is crazy, and this has been proven time and time again, starting from his speech, starting from the show trial style way he made his decisions to invade Ukraine and have recognition, so to speak, from his people to invade Ukraine. Look, we are dealing with a psychopathic leader of a very, very big country, of a very big army, and of a nuclear state. And I think that the world should really be mindful of that and not give in to his lies and his manipulations, and be aware that if we are all to coexist normally, we should follow the rules set up for us after World War II, which work pretty well, I guess, and when countries follow them. But when one country starts falling out from those rules, it's the responsibility of the international community to stand up to it. It says so in the UN Charter, which all these countries that are now NATO allies, they have signed it together with Ukraine. So it's now the responsibility of the international community to stand up for Ukraine, because Ukraine has done nothing wrong. We have made a free choice as a sovereign state. We have not threatened Russia in one way or the other. We have made a decision about how we act with our own territory, with our own military, and who are our partners. Russia didn't like it. So Russia uses its force and its might to invade Ukraine. I think you can sort of sense here the who is in the wrong and who is in the right. Like, how can Ukraine, a much, much smaller country with a much, much smaller and less developed army, be a threat to, I'm sorry, I repeat myself, but the third biggest army in the world and the biggest army in Europe? How?
Yeah, we can agree here that Russia is clearly the aggressor. Last week, President Zelensky appealed to the international community as well, as you have just done, saying, we don't need your sanctions after the bombardment will happen and after our country will be fired at, or after we will have no borders, or after we will have no economy. Why would we need those sanctions then? Multiple countries have now announced that they will impose unprecedented sanctions on Russia. Do you feel that this is ultimately too little too late?
What are these unprecedented sanctions? Where are they? I don't see them, honestly. The unprecedented sanction would be the SWIFT. Why Ukraine wants to switch Russia off from the SWIFT? SWIFT operations are used with Russia to buy oil and gas. Oil and gas are the main commodities, resources, which feed the Russian economy. If they're switched off from the SWIFT, it means that they don't get the payments for the oil and gas. So immediately we sort of kill two birds with one stone. There's also this, isolation of Russian markets and of Russia's biggest markets. And clearly, this would be the sanction which hit the most. Just switching them off from the SWIFT and finding another way to pay for their oil and gas, well, of course, they won't care about switching off from the SWIFT in that regard. So it has to come together. Today, I think that the only right and correct, both morally and legally, thing to do of the international community is A, provide Ukraine with enough defense capabilities and actually get contingents here into Ukraine so that we can withstand further blitzkrieg attacks from Russia. And two is to impose such sanctions that would actually isolate that country, or rather that crazy leader, from the rest of the world, because the world does not need to be poisoned with the toxicity of a totalitarian regime.
In an address to the nation on the first day of the invasion, President Zelensky said, we have been left alone to defend our state. But who is ready to fight alongside us? I don't see anyone. You've talked about the kind of sanctions you'd like to see, the type of moves you'd like to see the international community engage in. Is there anything else you need the international community to do, to recognize, to engage in order to see the current crisis end quickly?
Look, the international community can choose either to act or to continue with just political statements. Political statements are very nice. We are very grateful for them. They show whose side people are on. But look, when you do tweet the hashtag stand with Ukraine or support Ukraine, it's not enough. You know, it's not going to stop the Russian missiles and the Russian planes hovering over Kyiv and the Russian tanks moving into our roads and destroying them completely along with villages and along with innocent civilians. What needs to be done is really show us if you're prepared to stand with us, because you're standing with us, not just for the sake of Ukrainians and a pretty big country in Europe as well. You're standing with us for your own safety and security. What we need now is actually UN peacekeeping contingents in Ukraine, since we are not NATO members. Okay, fine, fair enough. But UN, with the General Assembly, can adopt a resolution on sending peacekeeping contingents into Ukraine. They don't need the Security Council for that. We can go the same way that it was done in Korea in 1950.
We've seen pictures of bombed-out residential buildings. Amnesty International says that it's confirmed that civilians were killed in a ballistic missile strike outside of a hospital in Volhodar in eastern Ukraine. Ultimately, what would be the human cost of all of this for the Ukrainian people?
It will be huge, because it's not just the immediate casualties of war that we are still counting, but it is also the future of our children and the mindset with which they grow up in. I'm a mother of three. My oldest is 8 years old. He's a boy. And already I can see the damage this is doing to him, hearing all the airstrikes, sirens, seeing all the planes, having to constantly go down and seek shelter. This is what the future Ukrainian generations are going to grow up as, with a lot of psychological issues because of the war. And that has to also be known and understood. But so far, as about civilian targets, 33 civilian targets have been hit in the last 36 hours. This is absolutely inhumane and unacceptable. Three of those targets were kindergartens, children. They don't stop at nothing, those people, and their crazy leader.
Will you stay in Kyiv?
I'm staying because I'm a member of parliament. I have a responsibility to my people, and I have a responsibility to my country as a national, as a citizen in Ukraine, that was born in Ukraine, that was raised in Kyiv. And also, I have a responsibility to my family. Today, Ukraine is mobilized, meaning that everyone who can hold a gun is fighting and is holding that gun against the Russian aggressors. There's no way I can leave for a whole bunch of reasons.
Leshia Vasilenko, thank you so much for joining us on Upfront.
Thank you.